She's got to move around and keep discerning where and what we need, and we appreciate her. She's so soft-spoken, but she has a heart for service and ministry. We appreciate that. Mark 16, an exciting chapter, the last chapter of Mark. The Great Commission is found in the book of Mark, and here it is. Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Interesting that the word creature is there. Why didn't he just say every person? There might be some folks that we run into that are so broken, so messed over, that it's hard to maybe use just an ordinary term. So they're still his creature. They're still his creation. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized. Notice the prominence of baptism. He that believeth and is baptized. I need to believe and I need to be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice it didn't say he that believeth is saved and someday should be baptized if you think it's a nice idea. I'm just trying to point out the way that it reads. It doesn't read the way the world tries to quote it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That word damned there just simply means eternally condemned. Okay? Watch this, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And there's that word again. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Somebody say, in my name. Is there anybody that emphasizes his name more than we do that you know of? We are even called the people of the name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. We are called the people of the name. We emphasize it because we see it constantly emphasized in the New Testament. In my name shall they, and here it is, the very first one. In my name shall they cast out devils. Though this be the first sign mentioned, contemporary Pentecostals would like it to be the last one mentioned. Or maybe don't mention it at all. Because you have to put on your gloves and go to work when you help people in deliverance. We had a great man of God preach to us years ago in Wisconsin. And I think his first message was entitled, The Dirty Work of Revival. The Dirty Work of Revival. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. How many of you have had that experience? Oh. Not only had that experience, but been understood by people numerous times through the years, speaking a language that I do not know. I do know parts of several languages, but speaking languages, or speaking in a language that I know a little of, but speaking beyond what I know. Knowing that it was that language, but knowing that it's not words I know, but the Spirit of God who knows all things. Praise God. Isn't that something? They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents. Okay, now. This is not teaching people to bring vipers in cardboard boxes. Can I give you some peace? It's not teaching that at all. This has been misinterpreted. That's a bunch of craziness. Okay, now what do you mean? I mean, let Scripture interpret Scripture. What do you mean? When you read Acts 28, and Paul was gathering up branches for a fire, and a viper came out and latched onto him. This was a reference of God telling us he's going to protect us when we go out there into a very rough and tough world. He wants to protect us. We don't go out looking for snakes. We are not snake handlers. Never have been, never will be. That's not what we're about. You know, sometimes just misinterpreting one thing and all of a sudden somebody's famous for the idiotic way that they interpreted something which was incorrect. Okay? So I want to say it in grace, but I'm just telling you, I hate it when I see idiocy that's idiocy on purpose. If idiocy comes out of illiteracy, that's something else. But when it's idiocy on purpose, and we should know better because the word is clear about this. He's trying to say that when we run into difficulties out there, expect supernatural protection. And that's why he said, and if they drink any deadly thing, there's the context. And if you drink any deadly thing, somebody sees that you have an anointing and God's working in you and they want to take you out. Supernatural protections. Has anybody ever had supernatural protections in your life? Woo! Had a man shot down right in front of me. In a dusky evening in Washington, D.C. D.C. stands for darkness and confusion. And I love my country. But I'm telling you that God, if we'll live for him and stay close to him when we're out there ministering, he's going to help us and protect us. It says, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, I love this part. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands. I'm not supposed to. I thought I worked out all my fire and excitement. I tried to get the Cherokee inside of me to lay down, and he just won't do it. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick. That's a promise and a prophecy all mixed together. They shall lay hands. So you, probably most of us qualified today. You laid hands on somebody and prayed for them, and God touched them. Anybody know that God touched you with healing today? Lift your hand. All right, I see several hands going up. Praise God. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And they shall recover. That's another prophecy and promise mixed together. We've been doing this in the service of all the audacity. Now, we don't just choose to practice the word between Sunday and Wednesday or between Wednesday and Sunday, but this is for every day. Give us this day our Monday bread. Give us this day our Sunday bread. Give us this day our Wednesday bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And sometimes we settle for a couple of crumbs when we could have the whole loaf. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth. Oh, I love this. And preached everywhere. Can you say everywhere? And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. He's working with us. And confirming the word with signs following. We don't follow signs. We don't run after signs. We run after Jesus and honor his name, his blood, his word. And as we do that and minister, signs follow us. All right. For a few minutes, unless he just moves on me in a special way. I want to preach for a few minutes or teach a few minutes about, do we want it all? Do we want it all? Lift your hands. I want to ask Brother Sandy to lead us in a special prayer. Would you lift your heart to the Lord?
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, God. I pray, God, open our ears to hear the word right now, Lord. God, Lord, put faith in our heart, God, to act upon your word here today, God. As we believe, Lord, God, this is not just any book, but this is the word of life today. And God, we take hold of it, Lord. God, as pastor preaches, Lord, God, put anointing upon him today. God, help us to receive, Lord. God, let us see the revival for this city. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and honor here today. In Jesus' name, we pray today.
Amen. Would you clap to the Lord a few moments? Praise my God. God bless you. You may be seated. As a young pastor, it's very, very seldom through the years that I ever dip into this subject. Some of you know what my stance is on it with no apologies. Although, let me tell you this about my stance. Sometimes people have never studied this just like somebody that studied it might sort of have a better handle on it than somebody that hasn't. I read, there's a famous author, his name is Joseph Prince. He pastors a church of somewhere around 35, 40,000 people, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. And he was writing in one of his books, and he said, when the enemy doesn't want us to understand something, he puts a fence of controversy around it. Oh, that's good. Wow. Trying to keep people out of that. So he makes it controversial when it's never intentioned by the Holy Ghost to be controversial. But we've got to understand, if we want it all, and ladies and gentlemen, I love what I feel in my church, his church. I love what I feel in these services. It is a manifest presence of God that's coming down. We know that God's everywhere, right? Do we know he's everywhere? By the way, it's awesome to see the Hortons out with us. I think of them a lot, and I love them dearly. And thank you, Fred. I'm still thinking of that last time you were with us and you came by the pulpit, both you and Christopher, and to inform me that wave your hand if I'm getting it right. I think you said something like, Pastor, I don't want to be considered a visitor any longer. Did you say something like that? All right, wave your hand real high. All right, praise God. My mind's working. That's a bonus. Woo! Good to have you back. What beautiful people. Thank you, Nancy. And all of you, Brother Mike, amen, was a blessing, and he's going to continue to be. You're feeling better, aren't you, Mike? Praise God. That's two people. Hallelujah. God touched Amber. We had a prayer meeting, talked in tongues for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm telling you what, if we'll give the enemy resistance, we can blast our way into some miracles. Yeah. But I was a young pastor, and I was so green. I was so wet behind the ears, I needed towel service. I mean, I was new, the new kid on the block. And I thought, I'm discerning something, but I don't know exactly what it is. Something at times is messing with the people of God. And I love God's people. If you're around me much, you'll probably maybe sense that about me. I'm into people. I'm into Jesus and I'm into people. I love hanging out with God's kids. And so I began to get troubled in my heart and was praying. And I remember driving down the road, and I love to drive around the county roads, get away from all the traffic and just drive slow and pull over if I get a thought and type it into my iPad. Of course, in those days, there weren't any iPads. There weren't any smartphones. That does date me, doesn't it? I'm not old, just chronologically blessed, all right? So anyway, I'd had notepads and briefcases with me, and I'd write down a thought driving out there. And I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? What am I seeing? What am I feeling? There's something messing with your people at times, and I don't know what it is. Please show it to me. Okay, can I give you a wake-up call on that one? Don't ask God a question if you're not open to the answer that he's going to give you, because the answer that he gives you probably won't be cookie cutter. It probably won't be like popcorn or, you know, oh, this little simple little thought, you know, a little salt, a little butter, and we're on our way and we're better for it. His answer might not fit in the collection of predisposed ideas or traditional approaches. We don't honor tradition here. We honor Jesus of Nazareth. We don't honor custom here. We honor the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We honor the word of God, the written word of God. He breathed his life into his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that literally means all scripture is God breathed. I must calm down. So I'm praying this prayer. What is it, Lord, that I'm picking up on? Because it's really different. I know the people that I've seen it operate around, and I know it's out of character. There, at times, it's whatever this is, it's operating outside of what they are. It's not them, in other words. I know it's not them. And then I knew the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love or charity does not behave itself unseemly. So I know that the Holy Ghost doesn't behave unseemly. That doesn't mean that you'll always understand what he's doing, but he doesn't operate unseemly, and this was unseemly stuff. And I thought, oh, what is this? Didn't fall in any one of those categories. About that time, we had a man of God in our town. Many of you, most of you won't recognize, wouldn't recognize his name. A few of you might. At that time, he was one of the leading, like, Bible study teachers, soul winners, traveling evangelists, and very sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We were down at the park in Fond du Lac. What's the name of that park, Nevin? The big one, Lakeside. Am I calling it by its right name? Lakeside, Megan? Lakeside Park. Beautiful park right there on the edge of Lake Winnebago. Largest freshwater lake in the country, Lake Winnebago. Sturgeon fishing. Okay, I'm saying sturgeon. Okay. So we're driving in a car. All of a sudden, the presence of God moves in the car. And my friend, this anointed man of God, said something like, I'm seeing something in the Holy Ghost. And he said, I see this arid land. I see this dry, arid land. It's just nothing growing, no plants, no nothing. He said, this pipe is coming down from the right side. And he said, this water now, wow, this water is shooting out of it. He began to give me what he was seeing in the Holy Ghost. This cold water is shooting out of this pipe, and it's hitting this dry land. And all of a sudden, plants are growing, and grass and trees. And he said, Brother Meadows, I don't know what it is, but God is going to add something to your ministry, and it's going to be a great refreshing to many people. I've been praying, Lord, show me, what is this? As a young pastor, about that time, my little brother, I say little, right, Nevin, was he 6'4", 6'3"? Tiny. I mean, he's like the Twin Tower, you know what I mean? Twin Towers. And that we used to so talk about. Been on top of one of them. And he comes back from Africa. And he talks about demonic activity in Africa and the proliferation of demonic activity. And then there was a book. I forget how I got this book, but somehow somebody either gave it to me or I bought it. It was called Deliver Us from Evil by Don Basham. And it was a pastor who began to explain how God opened his eyes after he filled him with the Holy Ghost and began to show him the work of God and the work of the enemy in the spirituals. Or in other words, spiritual warfare. So I don't know if you see this, but often God brings us to intersections where it's not, you know, there's a place in Virginia called Seven Corners. I think there's something like that around here, isn't there? Something like that? 7-8 corners where a whole bunch of highways come together and all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of roads intersecting. Often when God wants to show you something, he brings several things together at once. And when he does that, you know how careful you got to be in intersections? I almost wiped out about 2 days ago. Seriously. Actually, it was so far gone and done, I stopped and just threw my hands up like this. And I think I scared the driver that was coming at me. And he just sort of did a little loop around me. I didn't even try to dodge him because I was too late. So I just stopped and threw my hands. I was probably kind of getting ready to worship a little or something. I think it scared him. Scared me. Praise God. That's how I learned how to pray. Praise God. So, all of these things are happening at the same time. And I'm thinking, oh, come on now. That can't, surely it's not something like that. And I thought, Lord, are you? I mean, my little brother Gary comes back and talks to me about the activity that he ran into in Africa, demonic activity. This book, Deliver Us from Evil. These little things I was seeing with a few of our folks. And precious people, if you need deliverance, hey, listen, that's just a manifestation of God's love and power to us. It doesn't mean we're less. If we're sick, doesn't mean we're less of a citizen or less of a saint. We're just human beings and we need ministry. But when you read the Great Commission, the first one mentioned is, in my name shall they cast out devils. Why is that the last one we consider? Because we've let the enemy put a fence of controversy around a valid ministry. But we have a harvest of the wounded coming in to the church and this hour, and we've got to have discernment and courage and boldness to minister the entire gospel, not just a piece of it. Come on now, let's make merry. Let's make merry in the house of God. It's not, I don't have the authority to just minister the pretty stuff. I don't have neither the authority nor the audacity to say, we'll just take our scissors and we'll cut that little piece out. If we're going to reach the harvest, we have got to understand spiritual warfare. I want it all. Because often, deliverance and healing are bound together. I'll give you the first scripture on that. Are you ready for this? And ladies and gentlemen, to give you some peace, I almost always say this anytime I talk about spiritual warfare. It is impossible for you to be demon-possessed and have the Holy Ghost. But, so it's not usually a possession situation. It's an influence situation. We can have demonic influence in our lives. And because we say, well, you know, we're great at this at Pentecost. It's either this or it's that. But it's nothing in between. And sometimes there's like 150 gradations in between that and that over there. We just say it's that or it's that. But it couldn't be something in here. And usually it is something in here in between. You understand what I'm saying? It's an area that we're not maybe schooled in, but we need schooling in this because we've all run into it. Sometimes didn't know what we were dealing with. So I thought, Lord, help me. Is this what it is? Is this? And I begin to, and that man prophesied over me. God's going to open up something in your ministry. It's going to be a refreshing to many people. Listen to this verse from Acts 10, verse 38. You know Acts 2:38, right? Then Peter said, all right, this is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Watch this. Who went about doing good and healing. No, I'm telling you what I told you at the beginning of the year. This is a year for miracles. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Healing all. How God anointed. You have an anointing on you. I have an anointing on me. We have a corporate anointing. We have a personal anointing. But the anointing comes from him, from the Lord. He wants to anoint us with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went around. We want to follow in his footsteps. We move through our lives trying to minister. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And there is your key word, oppression. Not possession. Oppression. Some of us, years in the making, have never gotten delivered of nicotine. Because you've not approached it right. It's not just a repentance understanding that we need. It's an understanding of spiritual warfare. There are addictions that can be broken when we understand how to move in this ministry. There are addictions to things that we should never be addicted to that God can break off of us. Come on, lift your hand. Let's love the Lord just a little bit. Oh, Jesus, give us revelation. Give us understanding, I pray. Let an anointing be on the church. And let an anointing be upon each of us, I pray, Lord. So that we can have it all. We can have all the fivefold ministry that you've placed in the church. I want it all. Do we want it all? Or are we going to get fussy and say, that's too dirty. That's too street level. That's too difficult. That's too controversial. I'm going to tell you what. That's not our choice. We have no choice. In the matter, he said, you're going to go forth if you believe in my name, shall you cast out devils. It was a prophecy, it was a promise. You're going to be doing this if you love him because it's a command, it's a part of the Great Commission. Who gave you the right to cut it out and throw it away? So I thought, oh my goodness, come on, Lord. You know, Brother Sandy, you know how when the Lord shows you something, it's like, it takes your breath away. Yeah. Kind of like Nevin's craftsmanship. When I saw this platform done, it's like, it took me a while to breathe. It took my breath away. It couldn't. What, Lord? I want a pretty little, I want a cupcake answer. Man, Christians, you know, these ladies, they make these cupcakes. Oh, chocolate cake. And most of it's gone when I get back there. But Brother Bob has mercy on me and brings me some coffee. But the ministers, there's so many. It is Bible, you know. He fed the multitudes. Praise God. I mean, it's a scriptural ministry. Except it's gone when I get back there. So I thought, Lord, if it's this, you know what? We know a lot by the mercy of, we know some things, don't we? By the mercies of God. We know some things. Do we know some things? Do we know how to baptize correctly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, under the water, because it's a type of burial. Romans 6:4, we are buried by baptism. With him, when you bury somebody, you don't leave the coffin up on the lawn and sprinkle dirt on it and say they got buried. If you do that, see me after service. I want to pray for your mind, your brain, that God will save it, redeem it, and clear it up and take the fog away. Because we put them under the ground and we put people under the water when we baptize them. It's a type of burial. Just as he died, we repent. He was buried, we're baptized. He came up by the power of the Holy Ghost. We receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Repentance, water, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The new birth of John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Not extracurricular. The stuff we know by the mercies of the Lord. But in this department, if we're not careful, we say, like a buffet. Let's see. I have three of those. Ooh, is that squash? How many of you love squash? It's a great game. Oh, is it squash? Squash. It's not squash. It's squash. Maybe you didn't live where I used to live. I'm from the South, baby child. We say things uniquely down there. And now I live in Southern Grove City, so it never leaves you, that Southern twang. Okay, squash. Okay. You look at that, and I'm in a buffet, and it looks like a disaster zone. And I go, you know, I think I'll pass up the squash. But you see, we can't do that when it comes to the Word of God. You can't say, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. Oh, you're going to love people. You're going to be praying deliverance for them. If you love people, you're going to obey his word. It wasn't up for grabs. It wasn't up for, well, take this to leave the rest. No. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall, that's the pretty part. Oh, give me the pretty part. Oh, the pretty. That's my shirt. What is she doing to me? Talk about reduction and weight loss. I think I'll leave the squash. You know, I think I'll just leave deliverance alone because that's when you get your hands dirty. Oh, really? Who gave you the right to say that? Who gave you the right to play editor to the Great Commission? Who gave me or you the right to take our scissors and cut? You start doing that, that's just a downward spiral, and pretty soon nothing means anything anymore because somebody thought they had the right to cut things out and throw it away. I want it all. Do we want it all? I want healings. I want to see some blind eyes opened in this house. I want to see some deaf ears unlocked in here, listening and hearing in this house. I want to see the crippled run. Hallelujah. Come on now. I want to see the dead raised. I want it all. I want the manifestation, the full manifestation of the power of God. You cannot pick and choose. If you want to see the unmitigated, undiluted power of God, you cannot water down the gospel. Yeah. I'm going to give you an analogy, because sometimes when I'm asking God for explanations, he'll give me like an analogy. Did I say that word right? An analogy. You know what? It's beautiful. Anybody ever watch a falconer? Like a falconer with a leather glove coming up and the falcon is perched on his wrist and he takes off. Let's just say he's going to take a little break. The falcon's having fun and he pulls off his leather, I'd call it a glove, and he's trying to get a little fresh oxygen in his arm, but the bird decides to come home faster than he thought he would. So he swoops down and grabs a hold of his forearm. That day he had short sleeve shirt on. So the protective glove is off, and so the talons of the falcon sink into his flesh. That's deliverance. The falcon doesn't own the arm. The falcon doesn't possess the arm. The falcon has just sunk his talons into it some and can now influence the arm. Come on now. Let's explain it to people. It's not demon possession most times. It's oppression. It's oppression. An influence. Not a habitation. An influence. The bird doesn't own the arm. The bird doesn't possess the arm. The bird is on the arm, dug in with his talons, affecting the pain level of the guy who forgot to put the glove back on. And who said you had a right, see or me, to alter or edit? We didn't get it, so we didn't study it. You don't get most things you don't study. Now, that's a deep thought. Right? So I thought, well, I'm going to study this as a pastor, Brother Sandy, and I'm going to start praying for people. My wife remembers this. You guys came later, and, you know, we're that awesome blessing later, but you heard about it, and some of our different family members have received blessings from this deliverance ministry. I took the hits for it. You got the blessings. But let me just tell you something. I feel like the Holy Ghost is saying, what is this doing in mothballs? What is this doing on the shelf? Who are we apologizing to? Who are we backing up for? That's my word. That's my great commission. Just learn how to explain it. Or as they say in the deep south, right next to Squash, right in the deep south. Explain it. Just explain it to me. So I thought, here, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to start praying for people along a different line, a spiritual warfare line. And if nothing happens, I'll know it was a cookie dream. I know it was a cookie vision. I know it was too many cookies, too much Diet Coke. I just saw too much because I ate too much. And so in the services, I began to pray over people. And almost instantly, there was an immediately, a response that was staggering. I thought, oh, have you ever broke into something and wondered, oh, my lands, what have I gotten myself into? And in the next several months, people in our church were delivered from suicidal spirits. I need to say that again. We're delivered. Did you hear that, devil? We're delivered from suicidal spirits. I take dominion over suicide. I take dominion over suicide. I said I take dominion in the name of Jesus over suicide. I take dominion over fear. I take dominion over depression. Agree with me right now. I bind depression. I bind suicide. I bind the enemy. I bind unclean spirits by the authority of his name and by his red blood. Come on now. I bind depression that comes to your house. Rebuke it. Send it on its way. You are a child of God, and you have power and authority to tell it to go. Take dominion over the enemy. He wants to bless you. He wants to help us. So what happened was, for the next few months, a purifying of the atmosphere. Took place. It just felt cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Do you remember Sister Madison? Stand and testify, oh, amazing woman of God. And she is an amazing woman of God. And most of you know that. You remember that.
There was a cleanness. There's always a cleanness in God's house and people are worshiping. But if you discern spirits, you can pick up spirits sometimes. And we started to have evangelists come. And they would walk in the door and they'd say, there's something so clean in this church. And we knew what it was. People that had had harassing spirits, tormenting them sometimes from generational curses for years. And they were delivered from those and made a difference. Woo!
You got to know my woman. She loves God with all of her heart. And she will speak what she knows to be the truth. I can't get her to fudge a little, you know, if I tease her a little bit. That's what one of the 3,322 things I love about her. She is the real deal. And to the Hatfield clan, she's the real McCoy. And I mean, it got cleaner and cleaner and sweeter and cleaner. But our church began to experience healing and deliverance. And then I started getting phone calls. Please come out here and preach some of that and pray for us. Phone calls. I went to that big old Quest meeting down in St. Louis, and I was wrestling with some church furnaces that were going down. And I'm not a furnace man. I'm so glad we've got some furnace men in the house. But I'm about as far away from that as you can envision. No, you don't even need a vision. Just guess it, okay? And I got down there, and I was like seeing almost my eyes were almost crossed. I'm wrestling with furnaces, trying to get them started and figure out how we could buy another one. We had five of them. We need to replace all of them eventually. And so I'm sitting in the back, and they're having this kind of like a, it's like a, I don't even know what you'd call it, but it's like a revival over 2-3 days. Pastors coming from all over the country, and nobody knew who was going to speak. That was the precarious thing. Nobody knew who was going to speak. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to hunker down, you know, and just enjoy everybody. And here comes Chester Wright. Here comes Brother Cisco. And it's like, oh, no, don't do this to me. I've been wrestling with furnaces and devils. And they're coming back there to say the Holy Ghost showed us that we're supposed to put you up to speak to us. Oh, I said, oh, guys, oh, man. You ever gone to a meeting and you're not planning to be the speaker, right? And it's like, oh, please, you guys, I've been wrestling with furnaces. So they left off, and then here comes this real tall, nice-looking Afro-American, one of our pastors, Brother Aaron, almost as handsome as you. Almost. When I give the altar call, I want you to be the first one. Love him dearly. We tease so much. And anyway, real tall drink of water. He walks up and he said, Brother Meadows, and I didn't even know him that well. He said, Brother Meadows, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you have a word for us. And he said, it's a good word too. You ever been ambushed by the Holy Ghost? It's like, what? Help me, Jesus. And when I got up, I preached basically about the ministry of deliverance because we'd been right in the middle of it. And I mean that tape, I think it went around the world. I started getting phone calls for years. People said, I had this tape. I played it. It's sitting in my office. I've been asking God, what is it that we're dealing with? What is it that we're dealing with? And I put your tape in and started playing it. And the Holy Ghost says, that's it. I'm going to tell you what, if you'll honor God, he'll use you to open somebody's eyes to the real world of ministry. Do you want it all? If you want it all, you've got to be willing to be humble enough to accept new understandings and new truth and new beautiful ways of ministering liberty and redemption to people. We need the ministry of deliverance. We should not be embarrassed. We should not be apologizing. I don't have a right to edit the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's that squash. It's that And so we begin to travel and pray for people, and it's like bah, boom, it exploded. And I said, God, if this is you and it's real, then I'm going to pray for people, and if nothing happens, I'll just think, too many hamburgers, too many chocolate shakes, too many bacon burgers. Those of you that know me know I love my bacon burgers. But I take a whole lot of fat busters before I take the burger. Listen to this from Luke 13:10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, and I'm almost done, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Get close to God. Get close to him. It's getting close to him where all of these things kick in and we can find ourselves with chains falling off. And said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Woman, thou art loosed from thine. And I want to say that today, whoever you are, woman, man, child, teenager, I don't care. God loves you just the same. He loves you. He's nuts about people. He loves you. On your worst day, he loves you. He's in your corner. He's got your back. He loves you, and you are loosed in Jesus' name. I bind the enemy. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I bind the enemy. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. You could step into that. It doesn't matter. It's okay. We love. He loves. We love. It's all beautiful because God's working in our life. We're not any less than anybody else. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, and this is like the little afterburner effect, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Now we have these pretty little rules. They had, you know how many of those rules they had? Lift your hand if you know how many. They had 613. This is about as far as I need to get, but I'm telling you that if I'm not afraid to be misunderstood, you have the courage to help people. There is a vast array of woundedness not far from you. And this is a part of his great commission to us. And we might have to sometimes bump up against some kind of religious or ecclesiastical rule. We'll be okay. But there was such a cleansing of our church. Some of you are new, and you've perhaps have not heard me tell this story. Some of you have heard it several times. I'd like you to hear it so often that you can tell it yourself. Because I didn't plan it. I didn't go to church that morning to pray deliverance in my office. But when I came to church, I'd already had some great prayer that morning. I felt the presence of God about me. I know there's an angel of God that watches over you, and I've got one or two that watch over me, and I believe they're warrior angels. And so we're having the leadership touch base, and I look at my worship leader, Daniel, who's an amazing young man, has a real anointing. See, you can have an anointing in your life and still need deliverance. He's one of the finest young men I've ever pastored. He could preach like a house on fire. Huh? Yeah. Throw it down, Sam. I mean, he could preach. And he was my worship leader, but he's standing there, and his eyes are all red and angry looking, and his nasals are all just like clamped shut, and he can't hardly breathe or see. And I was going to say something to him. All of a sudden, I was pointing at him. Point at Daniel and say, no, that wasn't in my notes. All of a sudden, I'm pointing at him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke, and I called it by name. I said, in the name of Jesus, I didn't hardly get through my sentence, and the power of God struck him. His eyes popped open. His nasals popped open. All of the symptoms he had been fighting for 30 years. Did you hear me? Because 2 years later, he got up to testify about it. 2 years later, he still had his deliverance. Symptoms that he had fought for 30 years disappeared out of his life. Hallelujah. He got up, Brother Sandy, and led worship like somebody from another world. I mean, there was an anointing of God that fell on our church. There was an anointing that fell on Daniel, and he had that testimony that God delivered him from something that he just learned to live with. And so as we soften the lights, I'm just barely scratching the surface of this word. But I'm telling you that I want it all. I want signs and wonders. I want baptisms. I want healings. Do you want it all? Are you willing to humble yourself to spiritual warfare? Are you willing to have somebody help you? I believe that God wants to do unusual things in this hour. Woo! Let's do this together. Hey, Jesus, we humble ourselves right now. We ask your forgiveness because we know every day we have to check up on ourselves, Lord. Just sort of check up on ourselves. Lord, we just humble our hearts. We believe your word. You want to help people. You want us to walk out there and minister to people in the fullness of the Great Commission. Not choosing, not pick and choose. We'll take that and leave the rest. Sometimes, Lord, we're doing part of the work, but we've leered or steered or, you know, bent away from the more challenging, controversial aspects of the gospel, but we don't have the right to edit his command. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power, he said. The Greek word there is exousia, not dunamis, from Acts 1:8. It's exousia, which means authority. Behold, I give unto you authority. You have authority. Lift your hand and heart and pray with me right now. There might be a situation you want to address in prayer. There might be somebody that you've been worried about. Speak in prayer. Speak to it. In prayer, speak to the challenge, speak to the problem, speak. In the name of Jesus, we come with the blood of the Lamb. We come with the promises of God. We come covered in the blood, washed and sanctified, blessed and anointed. We come to minister, Lord, not to do our own thing, not to short circuit the power of the gospel, not to trim it down to some cute size. Right now, in Jesus' name, lift your hands with me if you would. I take authority. Join me. Agree with me. It could be anything. It could be that depression I felt impressed to speak of. I bind depression. I take authority over doubt. I take authority over fear. I take dominion over addictions. In the name of Jesus, I take authority. We do it together, Lord, in honor of your word. I take authority over addictions. I curse addictions. I bind unclean spirits that torment God's beautiful people. I bind oppressing spirits. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the enemy. We rebuke darkness. Go ahead, tell them. Hallelujah. Tell it to go. Tell it to leave. We've got to understand this ministry. It's valid. It's vital. It's biblical. It's anointed. It works. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I rebuke darkness. Sometimes we can be hassled. Brother Sandy and Sister Sandy, you remember that night? I was over at the house. We were just relaxing, my wife and I, just sitting there in the living room. And you were in that Bible study. And you guys were fighting sicknesses. And you were fighting the enemy. And you called over to my place. And I zoned in on it like, oh my lands. Josh and Tiffany have walked right into a deliverance zone, like a spiritual battle zone, and we begin to war together. Oh, it was real, because it's all about souls. It's all about people. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. This is a church that believes in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe that God can bust something off of you, some manacle, some chain. Hallelujah. Right now, in Jesus' name. Brother Aaron, would you stand and turn around and put your hands out? Brother Sandy, would you come and turn around and put your hands out there and speak blessings, speak deliverance? Brother Nevin, would you do it on your side? Brother Cody, on your side, turn and put those hands out there and speak deliverance, speak blessing, speak anointing, speak healing. Hallelujah, there is deliverance. We're not backing up. We have nothing to apologize about. In the name of Jesus, rebuke that darkness that's harassed you. Shake it off like that serpent that Paul shook off into the fire. Praise God. I am free in the name of Jesus. I am free. I want you to stand and just claim your deliverance. I don't care what it is. Just stand and claim that deliverance. I rebuke condemnation. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I rebuke the spirit of condemnation. Hallelujah. Speak to it. Give it its marching orders. Oh, hallelujah. By the red blood, by the shed blood of Jesus. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Praise God. Use your faith. Use your authority. You have it. God is with you. Satya shondale kamra badio senin sekitata rabasando. Oh yes, we take authority over unclean spirits that have harassed your family. We rebuke them. We take dominion over unclean spirits that have devastated your life from different angles and made you feel worthless. You are valuable. You are valuable. He loves you. He loves you. Right where you are right now, present tense, he loves you. He loves to hear you talk to him. He loves the way you worship him. He loves you. He's not giving up on you. He's not giving up on you. Never, never, never use your authority. You are washed. And such were some of you, but you are washed. But you are justified. But you are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All right, be sensitive. I'm going to ask these men to walk through the congregation now and pray blessings on you if they would. See somebody that needs a touch, reach out and be a blessing to them. I bind infirmities. I bind infirmities in Jesus' name. Yes, I bind infirmities. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in my name shall they cast out devils. I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke the enemy. Hallelujah. I bind fear in the name of Jesus. He loves you. He's going to use you. Hallelujah. Your past is under his blood. Your past is under his blood. I bind those voices that trouble you. I bind them. I take authority over them. I take authority over those condemning voices. I take dominion over them. In Jesus' name, be loosed. Woman, man, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art blessed.